This meeting is now being recorded.
Michael, this is Nathalie. I'll just do the roll call for you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 2 call on the 15th of December 2016. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call. We'll take attendance by the Adobe Connect room only. So if you are only on the audio bridge and not in the Adobe Connect room, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no one and having received no apology for today's call, I'd like to remind you all to please state your name before speaking for purposes of the transcription, and please also keep your phones and your microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. And with this, I'll hand it over to Michael Fleming. Thank you. Over to you, Michael.
Thank you, Nathalie, and good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night for some of you, as Nathalie's already said. This is the, I can't remember which call, for the Working Track 2 of the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures P2P Working Group, Working Track 2. This week we'll be going over some interesting, everyone's favorite reserved names at the second level. And in the interest of time, I'm just going to go ahead and go over the agenda very briefly. First of all, we have our welcome that, I hope everyone's received a warm welcome from me, as well as Nathalie, and from the updated COI. If anybody has updated their statement of interest, please go ahead and put that in the chat, or if you have the option to go ahead and speak up and say something now. Hearing none, I feel that we're not going to have this area. So next we'll be, well, today we'll be talking about the reserved names at the second level. We've got quite a big sheet here that's been prepared by staff, as well as a few members of our leadership here that have taken time to make sure that we have a clear and substantial document in order to lay out all the issues that we have here. And last but not least, today we have any other business. Does anyone have any other business that we'd like to speak about during the meeting? We have a lot to talk about in regards to reserved names at the second level. So if anyone does have any other business, I'd appreciate if they could go ahead and speak that now, so we can allow the necessary amount of time for that. None? Okay, if we have none, if there is any other business, please do feel free to put it into the chat saying that you'd like to speak about it. If not, we're going to go ahead and move into the reserve names. So, reserve names at the second level. This is one that we talked about last week. We did the top level. We had a sheet that we went over each of those specifically. And this week we are going to move into the second level area. We have a nice list here, and we're going to go over each of them one at a time and ask if there's any input, and if not, I think we're going to keep the idea that if policy is not broken, try not to fix it. Please understand that none of these issues will be concluded today. We will allow for input, of course, and for feedback on the mailing list, as well as in any future meetings as well. But still, all the same, in the interest of time and what we have and the amount of work that we have for this large working track, I'm going to keep this meeting centralized in this one issue. Okay, so going ahead from the top here, I'm going to just actually read these and then provide a little bit of feedback or background input from my own knowledge. If not, I'm going to turn to Jeff or anybody else that might have more background input than me. So starting off from the top, we have the IANA reserve names. This is in regards to all levels. However, from the 2009 policy recommendations, it was said that we will maintain the existing reservations of ASN, GNSO, ICANN, INTERNIC, and CCNSO. As for IANA names, we would have AFNIC, APNIC, ARAN, example GTLD servers, LAB, IANA, IANA servers, IESG, IETF, INTF, ISTF, LAC, NIC, LATNIC, RFC editor, RIPE, write, root servers. And within the applicant guidebook / register agreement, this is not completely adopted. No names are, these were protected, sorry, not completely adopted. This was not adopted. These names were not protected at the second level. So, in regards to this matter, there came up the, especially, at least in regards to the top level, there was mention in regards to having at least a new list or additional input in regards to the recent organizations that came out of the IANA transition. Noting that from our 2009 policy recommendation, we have maintained the existing reservations, but at the same time, the applicant guidebook did not adopt that. Do we feel the need to move forward to have a policy change stating, for example, that we do not need to reserve these at the second level? That, or do we need to say that we need to reserve these, for example, and reserve the new acronyms as well that came out of the IANA transition? That's one way of thinking about this. Another way is that we just say that we don't need any reservations on the second level. Personally, I feel that, I mean, if it was not applied in the applicant guidebook, and there does not seem to be a massive amount of support to have this as policy to actually have these reservations, that's at least the message that I'm receiving, that we change policy to say that on the top level, yes, but not on the second level to have these reservations. I open up the floor. Anyone jump in to speak? Raise your hand, please. None? Okay. If that's the case, I think that perhaps having a note to mention that we'll move in the direction of the applicant guidebook to not reserve these at the second level, I think that would be a good direction at the current time. If we do have any different opinions, then we'll be able to jump back into this. Ruben is typing something. You think, Ruben says he thinks that IANA still deserves such reservation. IANA as in also sorts. Ruben, are you able to provide feedback on the audio? Not about this time. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Hopefully you can hear me. I think, you know, initially, before the guidebook was considered, quote, final, ICANN did have itself and IANA, and there were maybe a few names that were proposed to be protected. But after some debates with the intergovernmental organizations who said, I don't understand, why would we protect ICANN but not protect some of those, any other organization, ICANN finally agreed and saw the logic. If it wasn't going to protect any other IGOs or any other organizations, it shouldn't protect its own. So I think, I'm not sure this is produced an issue or a problem, I'm not. But then again, I'm not aware of any infringing or other types of registrations in other TLDs that seem to be causing an issue. And Reuben says, I can't, not worth reserving, but some other ones might be. Reuben, if you want to, I know you can't talk, but maybe if you want to submit like an email or something with some rationale on it, we can then discuss with the group. Thanks, Michael.
Okay. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Jeff. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Very early morning for me. Anyways, but Rubens, thank you very much for the input. It does seem to be worth noting. And Annabeth has a comment. To reserve anything at the second level, this should be a very good reason why. Why I can, Iana, are not other international organizations. And that's a good point. So I think I'd like Phil Rubens to be able to make his point clear, and we'll make sure to reference that when coming back to this. Excuse me. So moving on, let's move on to the second. The second category here, the ICANN and IANA names, kind of goes hand in hand with this. Alan Greenberg, please go ahead.
Yeah, I think the rationale for protecting ICANN-related names and not necessarily other IGOs comes under the general issue of protecting the security, stability, and of the internet itself. That is, if someone else can masquerade as us, then maybe that could cause a problem. So that's the rationale. You know, how much water it holds, we can debate. But I think that was the rationale for giving ourselves a level of protection we don't give to other types of organizations. It was because we're trying to make sure that the internet itself is being protected and no one else can play games with it.
Thank you, Alan. Kind of as a counter argument, I don't want to necessarily completely throw that out of the window, but that's very important to note. And I'd kind of, if it is, however, such an important issue to protect those on the second level at least, I'd kind of think it's very important to at least consider why we would keep that policy when it was not allowed, those second level reservations were not allowed in this round itself.
Yeah. Just to be clear, I wasn't arguing for or against it. I was just explaining why there was a reservation considered for ICANN related names as opposed to others.
My apologies, Alan. I interpreted that incorrectly, but thank you very much for that background information in regards to why that it was considered originally. I think that's worthy to note and worthy to consider as well. I'd like to wait on what Rubens has to say in regards to why we'd keep just IANA. I think it's worthy to note at this point that because that we did not keep it in this round alone, the reservations for the second level reservations, that it would be inconsistent maybe in some ways to carry that into the future or subsequent procedures. Seems we've got a lot of chat going. I like this kind of feedback. New input from Greg, the IANA.org domain name is used for emails, instructions, news, and also in IANA and IANA.net. Keep that going, everyone, please, and we're going to keep moving on because we still have a lot to cover. So moving on to the second category, the second reserve name category is also IANA reserve names, but this is in regards to reservations for the string example. And I'm not going to read this out completely, but it's only reserving the Unicode ASCII version of example. It was in 2009 policy recommendation. And then the applicant guide with the registry agreement, it was noted that we should have example reserved at all levels ASCII only. Is there any input in regards to changing this? Because it seems pretty consistent between both policy and the applicant guidebook. If not, I think it would be no. Sorry. If not, I think it will do good to keep it in its current in its current, sorry, there's an English word for this, in its current existence, in which the way it is written. So, any notes in regards to the string example? I know Rubens made a point earlier, so I believe Rubens made a point earlier in regards to having, well, example and root servers are also worth keeping reserved. Example was also mentioned as an INO. Yes, it was. At the same time, I think the second policy recommendation was referring specifically to whether or not to reserve that in IDNs or at least other languages versus reserving only as a Unicode ASCII version. So I'm not 100% aware of the background as to why example is, well, obviously it's used as a domain name in a lot of as a test name in a lot of programs is likely what I would consider, but I don't feel that we need more support or more input in regards to this specific string. I think it's very, very, I'm sorry, my English is not what it used to be. I think it's very, there's a word uses for this. I think everyone is aware, at least, of what the purpose of example serves. And for that reason, I think that we can keep this in its current format unless there is specific notes to keep it, to move it, then I'm not going to use Japanese, but thank you. Unless there's specific reason to move it, then I'm going to go ahead and keep it in the same time. Cheryl, thank you. I'm having a very difficult time articulating myself, but let's
it's all right, Michael. It's very hard working in multilingual as well as early hour.
It is. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for bearing with me. And I'm going to move on to symbols. If anyone has anything in regards to string example, then please go ahead and make a note on that. Here's something constructive. Trang, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to try to pronounce the last name at this point, but has noted in the chat that there was a reserve names working group. The final report is posted at, yes, and may provide some background info. Yes, thank you very much. At this point, a lot of what we have here, especially for what is written in the policy recommendations, came out of that working group. And so noting that the background information isn't there, I'm actually aware of it. So thank you very much for pointing that out. And if anyone wants to read up further, I'd say please reference that. At this point, though, I'm just in the interest of time, let's keep moving. Alan Greenberg, go ahead.
Yeah, just to try to move us along, first of all, for those who haven't already picked up on it, a whole bunch of the recommendations of that report were not followed, so it's not the definitive law. It may give a rationale. Example has been reserved for a long time now. It was reserved in this last round. I don't think anyone has made blatant statements saying it has to be freed, so I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on it.
Thanks, Alan, and you're right. I'm lingering over one specific string. So let us move on. Okay, so the reserve name category for symbols. The 2009 policy recommendation in regards to this was to not allow symbols other than hyphen to be considered for any level unless technology at some point permits the use of symbols. The applicant guidebook as well adopted this. I actually made note as a mental note for myself that at the current time there is nothing within the registry agreement or anything else that states that symbols are not something that a registry could pursue, for example, to create the necessary technology to allow for. But I haven't seen any RFC. I haven't seen any RCEPs or anything that has pushed in this area. So at the current time, I don't feel that it's something that we need to change. Noting that hyphen is the only thing that the only the outside of the symbol, if you would consider it as such, the only symbol that we would allow for the second level. Or is there anyone that feels that we need to change this policy strongly to pursue technology advancement in this age? None? Okay. And I'm going to conclude this saying that symbols besides hyphen will continue to be blocked for the time being. Of course, no final conclusions have been taken at this point. Just making sure to make an administrative note. So, moving on to single and two-character IDNs. So, 2009 policy made note to say that single and two-character U-labels at the on the top level and second level domain names should not be restricted in general. At the top level, requested strings should be analyzed on a case-by-case basis, as we went over in the previous meeting, and that single and two characters labels at the second level and third level, if applicable, should be available for registration, provided they are consistent with the IDN guidelines. So this stems for a lot of reasons from the fact that single characters can be one whole word in specific languages as well. This is also adopted in the 2012, in the guidebook as well as the registry agreement. I do not believe there have been any changes up today, but it's very justified recommendation in my own opinion. Does anybody feel different? Hearing none, this point will be policy as it is. So, moving on to single letters and digits. As far as policy is concerned, for the second level, the second and third levels, in future GTLDs, we recommend that single letters and single digits be available at the second and third level if applicable. The applicant guidebook, in the registry agreement, actually did adopt this in accordance with policy. So, Alan Greenberg, please go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to note something. I'm going back to the previous one. I'm happy with keeping it as is, but I'll just note that although the examples are of languages with pictograms, for instance, or Arabic, one could have second level IDNs in things like Cyrillic or other scripts that are confusingly similar with two character CCTLDs. And no one seemed to care about that. I'm just noting it's an interesting curiosity that I think slipped through. But I'm certainly not interested in trying to introduce a new restriction now for that.
Alan, can I just repeat what you said, make sure I understood it? You said that it's in regards to the second level domain names, that there's no reservations in regards to allowing for Cyrillic or those IDNs that actually may be confusingly similar to the ASCII domain names, correct?
That is what I said. There was a prohibition on two character ASCII characters.
On two character
ASCII.
Because
of things, but you could have an IDN one which looked almost identical. Jeff may actually have some real information on it. I was just noting it as I had never noticed that before, and it seems a rather curious thing that it was allowed. But I don't have a strong feeling about it. I just thought I'd mention it because it came to mind. But Jeff may actually have real information.
All right. Thank you, Alan. I think this actually stems into the next area that we have to talk about in the combination of two letters and digits. But Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman for the transcript. I think Alan, I think that was brought up. I remember someone, I remember people had brought that up, but the whole rationale for the two letters initially was to protect the exact country code, not to protect the two similarities. I think it was just kind of dismissed at that point. But you're right, I mean, there have been IDN top-level domains that have been at least initially refused because of looking a lot like ASCII characters that cause confusion. And I think what Michael's going to get at is the new rule on two letters or two characters would probably do away with the necessity of protections anyway. But, yeah, I think you're right.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Alan. Very good feedback. At this point, yes, there is no reservations in regards to at least single and two-character IDNs. It's noteworthy to at least consider or make maybe perhaps a statement in regards to the possibility of confusingly similar two-letter characters. But at this point, no restrictions have been made in regards to policy. I don't feel the need to make such reservations, but it may be noteworthy to at least have some statement or mention of what is possible. So then, moving on to single letters and digits. I just jumped into this, but as far as policy is concerned, in future GTLDs, we recommend that single letters and single digits be available at the second and third level if applicable. This was also adopted. I thought I was experiencing deja vu, but I was for a good reason. I did read this already. And as such, I think the last thing I said on this was that there were no reservations on this, and I think it was nice to keep it as is. Those are some very valuable domain names for a lot of registries. And there doesn't seem to be much input to reserve these specifically, or at least much effort or much opinion to reserve these specifically. As such, I think keeping... be available, sorry. I can't feel like I'm going back learning how to read. So policy says that these should be made available. At this point, I would say no change in policy is necessary. I will leave the mic open for about 10 seconds to go for anyone to say otherwise. If not, please raise your hand. Sorry, if you do have something to say, please raise your hand. Sorry, I'm a fast counter, but I haven't seen anyone raise their hand. As such, I will move on. But for single letters and digits, we keep policy as it is for the current time. So, the next category is any combination of two letters and digits. Registries, for policy, this states that registries may approve, pose, release, provided that measures to avoid confusion with any corresponding country codes are implemented. Such examples include, doctor always said I need glasses, ba.arrow, ub.cat, 53.com, 3m.com, e8.org. However, in the applicant guidebook / registry agreement, this was partially adopted. So, a lot of discussion and especially recent development in this area has been done, and I'm not going to read specifically what's written here because, and for the interest of time specifically, but to summarize, up until now, there's been a lot of debate in regards to specifically the letter-letter combination of two characters. Those up until actually yesterday were specifically reserved or at least required application to release. But the other characters, letter, number, two characters, or number, letter combination, two characters, were released. And the reason for such was because it was actually felt that it was overkill for ICANN to make reservations for all those valuable two characters. But the fact of the letter-letter characters, there is note that with the, of the confusing similarity to the government reservations in regards to these, in these areas. However, as of yesterday or 2 days ago technically, and then yesterday there was a meeting in which staff provided input into this. However, but there is now a measurement to allow for the release for these characters if e-registry follows certain policy and implementation requirements. So, at this point, policy has stated that, just to recap, policy states that registries may propose release measurements to avoid the confusion, and ICANN was to have these reserved, but effectively now is at least in relation to policy, allowing for the release of two characters as long as a registry takes a certain measures to avoid confusion. So noting that, I think it would be noteworthy to at least perhaps change policy to provide special mention in regards to the two characters, letter two characters, but in, for other two character combinations to allow for the, to not actually perhaps mention those specifically, or to say that, go ahead, please use these, but in regards to letter two characters, note the necessary implementation guidelines that staff brought out. So, I have tried to summarize this as best as I can. Is there anybody else that would like to make mention in this specific area? Come on. Oh, Susan, thank you. Please, go ahead. You're more than welcome.
Hi there. Susan Payne here. Yeah, I think I was just going to echo what you were just saying, actually, Michael, which was, this provision in large part is intended to protect concerns, or rather to avoid risk of confusion with the country codes. But it actually is kind of all-encompassing, so that it's, because it doesn't make the distinction between two letters and letter, number, number, letter, or number, number. In the way it's drafted, so I do suspect that at the very least it might warrant something acknowledging that letter, number, number, letter, or number, number don't suffer from that same risk of that same, don't raise that same concern, and so perhaps ought to be treated in a different way. I have my own views on the letter, but I'm not sure it warrants going into.
No, Susan, you make a very good point, and sorry, I completely forgot the number combinations. Early morning, no caffeine disease is what I call it, but a good mention, at least to have that within the policy, mentioning these three categories, saying something along the lines of to reserve these is overkill at least, but however there is confusing, there are worries, or there, it should be noted that the confusing similarity with CCTLDs in regards to specific letter, however their implementation guidelines, if registries take the necessary steps to avoid the confusion, then no reservations in regards to the use should be made. So, Paul, thanks for joining. We went over the two characters, and as I just said, I'm thinking about making mention to have policy change to say that the three categories of two-letter characters should be made to note, the two character domain names, that no mention of those should be made in policy, or at least saying that no reservations should be made in regards to these specific areas, but for letter two characters, the confusing similarity issue with the CCTLDs should be noted in regards to when a registry wants to use it, as they need to take measures to avoid confusing similarity. So I think I said that three times, but actually there was one specific mention here that this does exclude 5 2 character strings that are also match the IGO list. And if I get these right, Jeff has to buy me coffee at the next meeting, the next ICANN meeting. So I'm going to try to get them right. I believe it's UN, EG, EP, AU, and the EU. I think those 5 strings completely are actually reserved specifically. Jeff, go ahead.
All right, no coffee for you, man. Yeah, you're close. I think the ones are AU, EC, EU, UN, and I know I'm forgetting ones, but there are 5 that are IGO ones. I think you said EG or something. That's not one of them.
I think I did say EG. I think I meant to say EC, but I think it's EP, the European.
European Union, EU for European Union, EC for European Commission, AU for African Union, UN for United Nations, and I believe it's AC, the other one. I could be wrong on that last one.
No, I've got Susan saying it's EP, so I'm not. It is EP. Okay, so I think that justifies coffee, but. Still, all the same, these are the 5, so Susan has made note to say these are EP, EC, EU, AU, and AUN, because there is a overlapping, there's an overlapping issue, at least, for these that match the IGOs as well. So, all in all, in regards to characters specifically outside of the IGO overlap, I think this is a good framework to have for future policy. In the interest of time, I'm going to move on. However, please feel free to provide input in the mailing list or in future meetings in regards to this specific area if you feel strongly about it. Okay, so the next issue for we have is tag names. And this specifically is actually talking about IDNs. It is in relation with the IDNs. So, policy actually states that, I'm going to read this because to me it seems kind of Greekish, my apologies to those for that joke, for those who can actually read Greek. The current reservation requirement be reworded to say, in the absence of standardization activity and appropriate IGN registration, all labels with hyphens in both the third and fourth character positions must be reserved in ASCII at the second level. Added words in italics. Note that names starting with XN may only be XN hyphen hyphen may only be used if the current ICANN IGN guidelines are followed by GTLD registry. So there are technical reasons behind this, and noting that this is the necessary code that is implemented for IGN. Sorry, IDN. Sorry, my D and G's just want to get confused together. But IDN guidelines, for IDNs, it's the code that's actually used to implement these. My technical understanding is incorrect, please let me know. But this is why this reservation is made in regards to tag names. This is also adopted in the registry agreement. I don't see much need to change this policy. However, if anyone would like to provide information in this area, please feel free to jump in. Jeff has stated that The third and fourth hyphens could, in theory, be used for other types of IETF protocols, but to my knowledge, they have not been. Women's stated on note that registry might be allowed to not follow IKIN-IGIN guidelines to the letter, and I, of course, would agree with that, by making an RCEP request that ICANN approve, so the guidelines are not the ultimate restrictions to it. Yes, this is correct. In the interest of what is technologically possible, the guidelines are not specifically stating what is necessary. But, and Rubens, if I'm wrong, please feel free to correct me. But within the registry agreement, are there any? I believe that there is specific mention in regards to hyphens, at least in the third and fourth position. Whether or not they can be used. Jeff is typing, and I think he's really confirm what I'm saying, but yes, okay. So there is mention in regards to that. But outside of that, no mention in AGB as well. Yes. But outside of that, I've lost my spot. So, sorry, tag names. But outside of that, there wasn't any movement in this category to say otherwise, correct? Okay. So policy stays as it is for now, unless new technology allows for further advancement, and we need to make note of that. Rubens, go ahead. I'm glad to have you on audio.
Thanks, Michael. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. You have the floor.
Thank you. The point I have here in this line is that it is specifying that the IDN guidelines are restrictions that need to be followed. But IDN guidelines are only the default behavior that an IDN registry must follow. It can ask and be granted an exception. So if we keep the wording that where it is right now, IDN guidelines would be ceilings to anything that a registry might propose. So we couldn't have any more registry service requests that ICANN could grant based on observation of why that, even if that was not following IDN guideline, why that was not a problem. But if you use that wording, that possibility goes away. And just to mention that this was one of the points that were discussed with ICANN during the registry amendment procedures, and we found a solution that as well that kept such flexibility. So I don't think we should remove that flexibility here. It's just that it's a very minor issue with the language, not with the policy itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Rubens. And to kind of summarize what you said, currently the policy to implement IDN guidelines uses the hyphens in the third and fourth location. However, this is not to say that a registry may take other measures or take other technological advancements in order to find other ways to implement IDN guidelines, thus saying we need to keep these reserved because this is the current standard way of implementing IDN guidelines. However, other ways to implement IDN guidelines are always welcome. Is that a good way to kind of summarize that? Yep, okay, good. So I'm in agreement with that as well. This is reserved for specific reason for IDN guidelines. Of course, to say that this isn't the only regard that we need to keep for, this isn't the only way that IDN guidelines can be implemented. So I think we should need to move on, but the keeping policy as it is now seems to be the best way forward in my current opinion. So next we have the Nick who is in the www. question of the past present was not very good. But the following names must be reserved for use in connection with the operation of the registry for the registry TLD. Nick, who is WWW, registry operator, may use them, but upon conclusion of registry operator's designation as operator of the registry for the registry TLD, they shall be transferred as specified by ICANN. Third level only applies in cases where registry offers registration at third level. Now, this has been adopted in the registry agreement, but it also includes RDDS. I've seen a lot of I don't feel that there are any necessary and just to actually jump in here to kind of include the next category, I think we can do conclude this in one go. But as in regards to Nick, who is in WW, it states specifically for IDNs to not try to translate these in various scripts if they exist, except on a case-by-case basis as proposed by given registries, or at least have, or at least even try to translate that. Translating specific strings, and Ruben, I'll get to you in just one second. Translate, in my own specific experience, as speaking in a second language, and might have been sounding like I speak English this morning, but trying to translate one specific string is next to impossible. One, especially if you're going to try to translate WWW or even Nick as an acronym itself, who is obviously steers clear to home a bit more for even representing a word, but trying to translate it is, believe me, not an easy job. But trying to, so I think the IDN reservations are important to keep, as well as the specific ones in regards to the actual ASCII characters, reservations, but before I jump into that, Rubens, please go ahead.
Thank you, Michael. Just to bring some information to the work track, that this is a pain point for IDN registries because they were not allowed to express NIC into their own script. So they were forced to use ASCII only for the NIC label, instead of using a some name in the label that in the script that they are using, like for instance Bazaar in Arabic wanted to have something that's similar to Network Information Center in Arabic, but they were not allowed to do that, and they were forced to use NIC, and that ended up being discussed during the Registry Agreement Amendment discussions. And this was somewhat flexibilized by ICANN. So even though it now counts as adopted, it is going to be changed in the next few weeks to the new language that will supersede the current agreement. So this has already changed, and even what we got in the agreement amendment is possibly something that is painful for IDN registries still. Thank you.
Rubens, thank you. That's a very good point in regards to the IDNs. The IDNs, it's reservation specific clause, do not try to translate these. However, it does not say that a registry can proactively use a translated version of these strings for the registry operation. So I think it would be noteworthy, at least from what Rubens has said, to once the new language does become active in the next few weeks, that we at least try to come back to this and provide clarity in regards to the IDN. Staff, could we please make an action item to look at the new language of the registry agreement and look at the language of the registry agreement once it comes out in the next few weeks, and if it does, of course, to see how, not just in IDNs, but overall how that language may affect some of the reservations that we're looking to make here. Jeff, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Hopefully you can hear me. I've been having issues with my Adobe and losing connection. This is Jeff Newman. I just want to point out that I think we're talking about two different things. So we're talking about the reservation of names versus the use of names. I think Ruben's point is that elsewhere in the contract, it requires NIC to be used by the registry for certain purposes. That's different than what names we have to reserve. So I'm not sure there's any changes to the reservation policy, except possibly you keep these three, and perhaps the version of NIC that is also commensurate with the language of your TLD. But again, that's describing which name you have to use as opposed to which ones you have to reserve from registration and may only be used. So I just want to make that distinction. I think it's important. And I'm not sure that the changes to the language would affect the reservation, except perhaps to say that I guess maybe if NIC NIC is not in your language and there's no reason for you to reserve it, perhaps that might be an argument. But I want to make sure we're talking about two different things. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. And the reason I've raised my hand is because I have input in my own personal capacity. These are two different things. I'm in agreement with you. However, I think keeping the language as it is in regards to at least the ID and reservations and saying, don't try to translate these is what's important, because it's just, and specifically there are very few languages that I think that actually have a transliteration of these specific characters, but of course, trying to translate it creates a lot of problems as well. But I think that is the best way to actually allocate the entire picture into one reservation and the way it is written. So I think it's very good there. However, I think, as you stated, that what a registry does need to use, the NIC.TLD for the registry use, is mentioned elsewhere in the contract. That is true. However, at the same time, I think that what's written here on IDNs, it says that do not try to translate. However, it doesn't mention that any translation of these strings may be proactively used by the TLD. Maybe that's something that's kind of assumed, an assumed meaning of the contract. But in my understanding, that's something that's not at least allowed for for the TLDs to use, an IDN or a translated version of these strings for themselves. And I think if we made a clarifying statement saying that you could, the registry could at least use those translations. It says do not try to translate, but at the same time, though, any translation could be used by the registry. Would that be noteworthy? Jeff, I appreciate your response on that, if you do feel the need.
Yeah, sorry, it took me a second to get off mute. I think that I understand your concern about the policy saying do not try to translate. I'm not sure that's actually reflected in the current language in the agreements or in the guidebook. I think what it's saying is for purposes of locking a name from registration, do not try to necessarily translate it. I think about in the other section of the agreement where it does talk about which name you need to use for certain purposes, that provision should probably be changed to using either NIC or a translation in the appropriate language and script of the TLD, as opposed to just may solve the issue. But if we want to work on the rationale, the policy rationale, perhaps we suggest some language that would not be as strong as using words like do not try to translate.
Sorry, Jeff, I just want to jump in again and say that, no, I actually think that do not try to translate is a very good language piece, actually, because it kind of summarizes the aspect that not all languages have translations, some do, but just don't try to do it. At the same time, though, my point was not specifically just in regards to the Nick string, but as well, but others as well, such as who is dot or www dot. This is an important issue in my own right, because certain languages will have those, at least some. What's the word? It's not transliteration, but it's the equivalent of those in another language. And if there's specific policy that says do not try to use them, reserve them, but you can't use them for a registry, you can't use the translations, but you can use the ASCII, it seems the kind of a catch-22, as in you can use the ASCII, but you can't translate it, or you can't use those translations. I think that policy is a little bit limited in the way it's written now, so actually having a different way of viewing that might be good. I think it's interesting to explore. But wow, look at the time. It's the top of the hour, and I'm about 3 more minutes before I can take a nap. But I don't want to try to jump into the next discussion, because that's geographic and political reserving categories, and we could talk about that for more than an hour. But is there anybody else that has any other business at this point? If not, our next group call will actually take off where we left off, and we'll try to get into the CUI, beginning of the CUI issue as well. But is there any other business? If not, I'm going to go ahead and conclude this call and give everyone back 2 minutes of their precious time. All right, everyone, guess what? Early present for holiday present. You get 2 minutes back, and we are going to pick up in the new year. Please have a very long and jolly vacation for those of us that are taking vacations, and we will see you in the new year. Thank you, everyone, and goodbye. Staff, can we go ahead and end the recording? Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.